Welcome back to Marvel Good Yay, our spin-off podcast of the Geekeasy podcast, where we're going back and watching every single Marvel Cinematic Universe film and talking about them. I am Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
I'm Jaren McCaffrey.
So, yeah, you are. Jaren's asleep.
I'm here too. Sorry.
All right, guys. It's time to assemble. We've made it. We've made it to Avengers.
It's called Avengers Assemble in England.
and on my Blu-ray, because I have a UK box set, because I wanted box set.
Yeah.
And it's region-free, so I put this in to watch it, and seriously, like, the title screen comes up, and it's like, Avengers Assemble, and I was like, what? Oh, yeah, because we were just having that conversation.
Did it make the movie better?
It was so much better. It was weird.
You're a real Benedict Arnold.
You're a Benedict Cumberbatch.
He is also
Doctor
British.
Strange. He is, yeah. See? I know what I'm talking about.
No.
All right.
So I'll be running the podcast today.
Well, where do we even want to start with this? I feel like this is going to be very similar to our Captain America episode, because we were just like, gush, yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah,
and this movie is just so good. I watched this twice before we recorded, because it was so
jealous.
Good. Yeah, it's still so good. Like, it still gives me the feels, like, every time I watch it. Like, you just, oh my God, everything about this.
Goosebumps every time I turn this thing on. And again, I watched all these movies just a year ago, so it's not like, I mean, none of them are too terribly stale in my mind. But it doesn't matter. I can watch this thing again in a week, and I'll still feel like it's, you know, maybe not the first time, but it'll still feel like the second time every time, you know.
The one scene at the end, in particular.
Man,
I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Once again, you know, and I mentioned last time, I've been trying so hard to look at these with, like, a real critical eye, and I've couldn't on this one either. You know, I didn't find anything really one thing that we'll get to, I'm sure, but
there's a couple of lines every once in a while where I'm like, that didn't flow as smooth as Joss Whedon's dialogue usually does. But like, that's literally the worst I could say. Because there's a couple of lines where I go, I'm surprised they didn't take that again, you know?
Yeah.
But that's about it, you know. This is just the pinnacle at the time. I'm just getting startled by everything.
Yeah,
I don't know what's wrong with me. But this was what everything was building towards. This was the peak that they were going for. And obviously, it's expanded since then. But I mean, at the time, this was like the fanboy dream come true.
It was.
You know, they started talking about making these movies with these characters. We've called them the B-Squad a couple of times. You know, the characters that they had left. But the fact that they were building towards this thing. And with every movie that came out, that excitement was building. So Iron Man came and sort of changed our viewpoint on comic book movies.
Yep.
And then, you know, The Incredible Hulk sort of just rode along with that. Iron Man 2, we've talked about not doing what it could have done to boost that thing. But then as soon as we roll into Thor and Captain America, just so much anticipation is building. We get that post-credit scene from Captain America that's the trailer for this movie. Almost a year out, which is the first time we really saw any footage. And we, you know, looking back at it in retrospect, we barely saw any footage. We saw pictures of characters we had seen in full movies before.
Yeah.
Like, it really wasn't that big of a reveal, but it was the fact that it was happening, you know, combined with an epic score and, you know, just a sprinkle of Sam Jackson, and you're ready to go. And then in May of 2012, it's finally here. I don't remember, as far as, like, the shooting schedules go, when some of the news and announcements were made for kind of who was doing what. But I remember how excited I was for Joss Whedon to be involved with this to begin with. Because as soon as that news broke, it was like, not only is this really happening, they're taking it seriously. Because we've talked about director choices that we've gone through. You know, they go get the classic Shakespearean actor director for Thor.
Right.
They go get the kind of the, you know, a guy with some experience with the period pieces in technically a superhero genre for Captain America. And then for the biggest ensemble movie ever made, you go get a guy who's made his career doing ensemble works and fan favorite ensemble works, you know. Joss Whedon's biggest thing up to that date, obviously, being the Buffy series.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he'd gotten huge critical acclaim for Serenity, or for Firefly, which led to the Serenity movie, which, you know, wasn't a huge box office hit by any means.
Yeah.
So it would be easy for that to have been looked over, but, you know, Marvel was going out and trying to find the right guy for the right job, or the right person for the right job at any point throughout that prospect there. So even though Serenity didn't necessarily make all the money they wanted it to, you can watch Serenity and go, this has that feel of that classic team-up,
yep.
just with characters that, you know, mass audiences didn't know very well.
Right.
So what if we take the guy who made this movie really good and put him in with a bunch of characters that these audiences already know? And just magic. Absolute magic.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so how do we want to start this off then? I guess the movie kind of opens with basically our big setup for what's the reason why the heroes need mm-hmm. to all come together here, which kind of branches directly off of that post-credit scene we saw in Thor.
Yep.
With Loki basically coming in, and with
Selvig
already under his control. And
well, you know, he really wasn't.
Oh, yet, I guess though. He wasn't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the first note I had, was that, because Loki comes in and puts a beat down on the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah.
And then uses the
That's
scepter.
That's right. He used the scepter on Selvig.
On Selvig.
Yeah.
But, like, the post credit scene totally implied that Selvig was under his control. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, you could, for sure it did, but
right.
it wasn't anything that felt like they were backtracking necessarily either. Yeah. It would be really easy for the God of Mischief to do, you know, a much smaller trick rather than actually completely mind
right.
controlling
yeah, yeah.
him, you know. It was more like influential. The other thing I thought about that, going back to that post-credit sequence from Thor, is it almost seemed like too big of a reveal at the end of Thor, because you thought he had died.
Yeah.
So it kind of would have been nice to leave off thinking that, but then they give you right away, by the time the credits are done, you realize that he's still alive. But coming into the Avengers and seeing how they, like, that I don't think that reveal would have played very well as a reveal that he was alive when you didn't think he would be.
I think it
worked a lot better already knowing
it
was him, and then seeing him in the trailer, so you knew he was going to be a part of it. And then so when he shows up, it just made a lot more sense that way. I think if they had played that where that was also, you know, them telling the audiences that he'd really made it, but without giving any explanation or whatever, I think that would have been kind of one of those moments where everybody's going, why is he alive, rather than concentrating on what's happening.
Right, so yeah.
I think that was the better way to go.
Yeah, so he uses the scepter, his new scepter, which, like, we don't know how he has this or where he got this
right.
from. But it's obviously got powers, because he mind controls Selvig, he mind controls Hawkeye, and he mind controls another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent immediately. And basically has them steal the cube, the Tesseract, for him, and they jet out of there. So now, like, the big alert going on, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s shutting everything down, and they're trying to relocate because the building's blowing up.
Right.
And Loki ran away with the Tesseract. So this is basically where he makes the decision that they're going to call in everybody, right?
Yep. Like, we're at war.
Yep, we're at war. So we're going to call in the...
Sam Jackson has some great lines in this movie.
Yeah,
all of Sam Jackson's lines are great in this movie.
And I really like the way they kind of individually introduce us to all the characters. I thought that was really well done in this.
Yep.
Because I like, too, how, like, they start with the Black Widow stuff and kind of give us a little bit more of the Black Widow doing her thing.
Yep.
And doing the Russian thing, because that was always one of those things. I remember, like, she showed up in Iron Man 2, and even at the time, we were kind of like, she was awesome in that movie. Wasn't she Russian in the comics? You know, like we were kind of doing that. So, like, they kind of threw us the bone with this whole thing right here, because she's doing her little spy work,
her interrogation.
Interrogation stuff.
And I'm in the middle of an interrogation.
Yeah, I love that. Like they call and they're like, it's for her.
Right.
That's good stuff. Yeah. I'm in the middle of an interrogation.
They gave Hawkeye a little bit of that, too. You know, he's the character we know the least at this point.
Right.
But they at least give him that small setup at the beginning where, you know, Fury comes in and asks, where's Barton? And Selvig's like, the Hawk, he's in his nest or whatever. And make some kind of comment about seeing better from afar and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So just little things, but they at least establish him as a higher up with S.H.I.E.L.D., like a guy who's got trust and authority there.
Right. Yeah, and then they just kind of one by one, like, I love the way we get introduced to everybody.
Yeah.
So
the banner thing is
awesome. Yeah, the banner thing is awesome. Yeah.
And that's our first introduction to Mark Ruffalo also.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to ask, and this is probably a good place to ask it, but it definitely comes up and it plays a role later. Do they really explain, and maybe I missed it, but I watched this movie twice, so I missed it twice. Did they explain why Black Widow is afraid of the Hulk?
No. Yeah, just because he's the Hulk.
Yeah, why exactly. I mean, like, it's weird, though, to me to think that she would be that, like, scared of the Hulk. Because they kind of do it here in this first scene where she kind of freaks out when he, like, tests her or whatever because she thinks he's changing and, like, she's a little shaken. But then they, like, really steer into that later on.
I feel like later on they do explain it, but... But the original apprehension, they don't necessarily explain. But it's kind of one of those things that just sort of makes sense because, I mean, if this guy goes, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, she is the, like, quintessential always in control of every situation. You know? Even more so, I feel like, than Fury. You know, she is always in control of every situation she's a part of. And... there's no way to be in control of the Hulk. You know what I mean?
Okay, I guess. So, yeah, I guess maybe that's it.
You know, like, she can't pretend to seduce him. She can't karate kick him. She can't, you know, she has her gun, but what's she going to do? You know what I mean? There's no way.
Yeah.
No way of knowing how he's going to react. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I get that. Was it Steve that we got to see next, I think? Yeah, because that's when Fury basically comes in and
we get the scene. We get the boxing scene.
The boxing scene.
The punching bag scene.
Yeah, the punching bag scene. And then our introduction to Iron Man is like so Iron Man. I love it because like it's him basically turning the power on for his new Stark Tower, which is his clean energy building.
Yep.
But like we get the introduction to him with like the rock music and like, you know, him flying around, just feels like it comes right out of his movie. But like I think that's what I like about this. Like we get introduced to all these very different characters and like they all feel like they're kind of almost grounded from their movies.
They absolutely are.
It's
really
cool.
I mean, we get Banner back in Brazil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And kind of playing like the backstage, or not backstage, back alley doctor.
Yeah.
You know, when we get Captain America, he's in that gym, and we know it, but that's very like a very old-timey gym with old-timey punching bags, you know, and he's got his fist.
I feel like it's sort of lit that way, too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't think there's anything, like, that's all just, how it is.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, I love, too, with the punching bags, how he's got a line of them ready to replace them, because every time he knocks one off, he just, like, picks up a new one, hangs up like it's nothing.
Yep.
I love that. I think that's so amazing.
Well, I think it's super weird. Where's he taking that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he leaves, he just throws one up on his shoulder.
And he's out of here.
Yeah.
He's like, going to hang it up at home, Bob.
I guess.
Yeah, always going to have spare.
I guess.
Wherever you go.
Yeah, that's
good
stuff.
This is the point. I can't remember exactly what the setup for it is, too, but isn't this the point where, you know, Roger says Fury can't show him anything that'll surprise him at this point or whatever?
Yeah.
Fury's like, bitch, $10, you're wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is perfect, because now, so like, they all get brought to the helicarrier, which is where we get to see the helicarrier, and that's a great scene, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they take off. Well, because Cap says that thing. He's like, "Is this a submarine?"
Yeah.
And then it flies instead. And then when they walk inside, he hands that $10 to Nick Fury. It's so awesome.
Isn't it because Banner says something about, you know, like it's probably a bad idea if it's a submarine or whatever. And then it starts to fly, and he's like, "Oh, this is much worse."
Yeah,
this is infinitely worse.
I love the rapport between all the it builds immediately as you go. I mean, the relationship with Black Widow and Banner obviously kind of starts like we already talked about, but even when the little one-off when Banner and Steve Rogers meet, like it's there's not much to it. It's just basically Banner just seems really self-conscious about what he is,
right?
Yeah,
and sort of focusing on that. And Steve Rogers is basically just like, "Look, if you can help, I don't care. Like, you know, like I'm not here to judge where you are, we're here to accomplish a mission. But it's kind of just that putting at ease or whatever, and it really it speaks volumes about both the characters in one line each.
Yeah.
And it totally. Already starts to form a bond, you know. And they do that with all the characters as you go through here when a lot of these guys really start to meet for the first time. Banner and Stark.
Yeah.
You know, hit it off so terrifically coming up soon here.
Finally, somebody speaks English. is that what that is?
You know, and that's really that scene we're kind of skipping to there is the first one where, you know, everybody is really kind of together for the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's,
and again, like, I could just watch that scene on loop for an hour and be entertained, you know? Because it's just small little subtle things, but it goes to how well it's written, how good all of these actors are, and just how excited you are to see them together finally. And they're just, you know, so many times as fans of geek culture, you set yourself up for how great something could be.
Yeah.
And so often, even when you get it, it falls short of your imagination.
Right.
And this did not.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So yeah, but I guess before we get to that, we should definitely talk about the little... like the heist kind of scene with Loki, at that museum or whatever it is. Because oh my gosh, how brutal is
that's kind of gruesome.
I love it. It's like it's just so because like he grabs.
Well, before we get to that, can we just talk about how awesome Loki looks,
dude?
In his like that. Like, I'm never wearing a suit without a green scarf again, ever again.
Yeah, man, and he turned the staff into like a cane.
So yeah,
he's like he's like looking all proper and sharp dressed, and man, he just grabs that dude and flips him down, pulls out the device, jams it in his eye.
Yeah,
everybody freaks out and runs, and then he just gives that look with that smirk, like he's so proud of himself. Yep. Oh my god, it's an amazing scene. But I love that too because then. This is like the he goes outside and everybody's running around all scared and he tells everybody to kneel and everybody does and so he's like that proud in that proud God moment because like his whole thing is
he's
like
got
he's
that
been
full suit on and
he's got he puts the full suit on with the helmet
the big bendy
horns.
Awesome
with the horns and like his whole thing is that he's been promised Earth right like he's gonna rule Earth so like he's making everybody kneel to him and he's up there giving a speech and. And then you get the one veteran who stands up to him, which is so awesome. But then, man, this is like right here, awesome superhero entrance by Captain America, who makes a habit of this going forward.
Yeah, man.
Because like, man, like yeah, that old man, he's standing up to Loki. Loki's about to blast him because Loki don't care. And then, boom, Cap is there with the shield. Loki goes, oh, the soldier.
This is one of those lines from Cap, though, that I mentioned earlier, where I feel like it just, like, I get what they were going for, I just don't know if it flowed quite properly.
Oh, no, I love this line.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just felt like, I can't describe, because again, I like the idea of the line.
Right.
I don't know if it's the delivery or the send-off to it, but something about it just didn't feel like it played quite right, because He says, you know, the last time I was in Germany and there I saw a man standing over,
over everyone else,
we had a disagreement or something like that. It just didn't, again, I loved the spirit of it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it actually flowed, but hey.
Hey.
You know? Hey, I liked it.
I liked it too.
But I probably get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty great little fight scene here. We get to see lots of cool shield play. This is also the first time we see Cap in the new costume.
Yep.
Like the modern costume
Which is a little rough.
And it gives you a little bit of a taste of the action style of the movie also.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah.
I mean, Captain America, the first Avenger, had a lot of hand-to-hand combat, but it wasn't super over the top.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if that's the right word or not, because this action's all great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was more grounded.
Well, yeah.
On the hand to hand.
Yeah, it was like
and this is more like comic book action.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and
this is a superhero fight.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is where we lead up to Iron Man and Captain America meeting for the first time, because as Iron Man comes in to make an entrance for himself, he hacks the shield, the shield jets and starts blasting AC/DC over the PA system and then comes flying into his own entrance music, which is amazing. that's good stuff. So we get to see these two team up basically for the very first time, and they capture Loki here.
Yeah,
like Shield captures Loki.
Pretty much just like one blast from Iron Man, and then it's sort of over. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Which feels amiss.
Does it?
Hmm.
Like Loki might be up to something. So this is basically leading up to our big
arrival
of everybody together, because I love this too. As they're flying back to the base, like the storm starts, yep, and Loki gets like noticeably uncomfortable in there, which is amazing.
Yeah, just a series of great lines right
there. Yeah. Like, what are you afraid of a little thunder? And he's I'm not awfully fond of what follows it.
Yeah. Great.
Great line there.
That's good stuff. So that's when Thor comes sailing in and breaking into the back of the...
Busts in, grabs him, and leaves.
Yeah.
And I loved both of the exit lines for Iron Man and Captain America there.
Yep.
Because that's where Captain America's yelling at Tony, going, "Hey, we need a plan of attack." And he just goes, "I have a plan. Attack."
Yeah.
And drops out. And then Captain America goes to follow, and Black Widow tries to tell him, "Hey, you probably don't want to get involved. These guys are basically gods." And he just goes, "There's only one god, ma'am." And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
it's such a Captain America thing to say. It's amazing. Yeah, it's good stuff. But this fight scene is awesome, too. Because I love this, because we get the little speech first with Thor and Loki, where Thor is basically like, "What the heck, dude? I thought you were dead, and now you're down here causing all these problems." Like, kind of giving them that whole thing.
It's real tight and concise, but it really wraps up both of those guys' stories from before and leads them right into where they are now. And just, boom, there it is.
You know?
It's just so amazing how easy that can be done.
I know, right?
Know how to do it, you know?
Well, it's amazing, though, because, like, as he's telling Loki to, like we got to go back and we're going to use the staff to do it or whatever, and then that's when, like, Iron Man just basically, like, spears Thor off the shot, and Loki's just like, what? It's such a great scene. And then we get to watch the two heroes fight each other, which is always kind of one of those, like, that's one of those tropes, right? Like, anytime you have a team up, before they can team up, they got to fight each other first. Yep. But it's like, we love that sort of thing, right? We love to watch them go toe-to-toe and see who could win. But this has got some really good stuff, too, with, like, Mjolnir versus the suit of armor, which is awesome. I specifically love the headbutts. Like Iron Man headbutts Thor, and then Thor headbutts Iron Man back, and he goes flying. It's so amazing.
Doth Mother know you weareth her dress?
Yeah, he called him Shakespeare in the Park. And then Thor zapped him with the lightning, which just charged his suit up, and then he shot the lightning back at him. Yeah, there was some really good stuff here. Real good stuff.
It's a great back and forth.
And I also love how when Cap shows up, he basically just bonks them both with the shield and like, "All right, you two, knock it off," basically. That's good stuff, too. But Loki gets away. Right?
No.
Does he get away?
No, they just, get him. He just stands there and waits.
He stands there and waits, and they go get him, and they take him back to S.H.I.E.L.D. because they convince Thor that they're taking him back, right? Because Thor's like, "I'm taking him back to Asgard."
And
so that's how we get them all back on the S.H.I.E.L.D., the helicarrier. And they put him in the cage. They put Loki in the cage that's meant for Hulk, which is... I love this, too, because this really plays into, like, a lot of the... because everybody starts kind of... second-guessing S.H.I.E.L.D. and what they're all about and all that stuff. And I love the way all of that kind of plays out and boils up.
This is where you get that scene where everybody's really together for the first time. And they're all kind of sitting around. They do that bit with, Thor. Somebody says something about Loki, and he's like, "Watch out, that's my brother."
Yeah.
And they're like, "He's murdered 15 people in the last 2 days or whatever." Yeah. And like, "Well, he's adopted."
Yeah. He's adopted.
Yeah.
Captain America playing up the Man Out of Time.
So I get that reference.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I got that reference.
But Tony kind of sneaks that encrypting, that tiny little...
And that guy's playing Galaga.
Yeah, that guy's playing Galaga. He didn't think anybody would notice, but I did.
I like how he goes back to the game afterwards, too. Because the camera pans over and actually shows him go back to playing Galaga.
Yeah.
Just kind of hunched over.
I've heard that was an ad-lib that they went and shot a scene for. Just to do that. Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Yeah. How does Fury see this side? He turns.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, sounds exhausting. Yeah, that's good stuff. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this whole scene was great. All of it was great. But we get, this is where we start getting some really amazing like Stark Banner stuff, because they're both being, they're both scientisting together and like, you know, working on the problem. But also as Tony's like, well, I'm also hacking into this, and we're gonna figure out what's actually going on here.
Well, he's also this is where he's antagonizing them, trying to get him.
Like he pokes him in the side. And Cap's getting all mad about it.
So that's what, I mean, like all these relationships that expand out so huge in the next, you know, 8 years worth of movies, 6 years worth of movies, you can see the seeds of every one of them. I mean, immediately,
Cap and Stark don't like each other.
Yeah.
And immediately, I mean, they're two Stark different personalities. Are buddy buddy, you know. And immediately, Stark has that rapport with Thor. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. But he's because they've got their,
or even the Hulk Thor stuff.
The Hulk Thor stuff comes right up in here in the next scene there, and just like everybody just goes right into their mode. And then again, they, and then they spend the next 6 years just making it bigger and bigger as it goes.
Absolutely.
But the seeds for all of it are right here in this like 15 minutes worth of movie. You know.
Right. So this is where they kind of find out, like Cap does his own. I love it when Cap comes back and he's like,
phase two.
He was like, your way was taking too long, because Cap just went and started digging through boxes and found all the Hydra stuff. All the Hydra weapons. And basically was basically determined that he doesn't want the Tesseract for clean energy. They want the Tesseract so they can build weapons. And Fury tries to deny it, and then Tony Stark's like, oh yeah, well, what's phase two? And that's like where everything kind of comes together. And they basically, well, because they're like, what do you need it for? And then Fury finally goes, because of him! And points at Thor. Thor's like, what do they do? I love that. But basically explains that, you know, once Thor and Loki showed up on Earth in their movie and caused all this trouble, it awakened the world to realizing that there's bigger threats out there that they haven't caught up to, and this and that. And Thor's like, well, don't you understand that by doing this, you're inviting everybody to come here for these bigger wars? And they kind of have this bigger... I love this scene because they're all arguing with each other. What is Thor in the middle of it just starts laughing and goes, you're all so tiny, or something like that.
You people are so petty and tiny.
That's so good. But this is where Hawkeye breaks in.
Well, we're getting the full...
It's right here, because this is where they've got that... Steve and Tony are going back and forth, and Steve's going, you know, take off that suit, what are you? And Tony goes, billionaire... Playboy, philanthropist, genius, or whatever, you know. But he's literally goading him right there, like they're about to fight. I go put on the suit, put on the suit, and then that explosion comes.
Well, hold on, because we've got we've got some other things going on here that we're kind of glazing over.
Oh yeah, we totally forgot the Black Widow interrogation scene. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is my which here is my one big nitpick.
This is my bigger one. This is my way bigger. That line didn't just didn't play well. Or not the line, just the way that scene plays out. I'm sure you're about to say the same thing.
So Black Widow comes in and, you know, starts playing him basically, you know, and she's like, I need Barton back. And he's like, no. Why do you want him back? You're supposed to be this badass, you know. And she's like, well, I owe him. I need to wipe the ledger out of my book. And he gives her a hard time and talks about all the people she's killed, and she turns around and starts crying and calls him a monster. And he's like, oh no, you brought the monster on board. And she's like, oh, so that's your play, Banner's your play.
Yeah.
And he's like, huh? And she's like, thank you for your cooperation. That's like, that's so weak, because he didn't say anything. Do what?
He didn't say anything, you know?
Oh, like, see, I'm going the complete opposite way.
Okay.
So, because to me, I feel like he had made no secret that the Hulk was his play the whole time. Like, they had that, at least to us watching, right? Yeah. So, like, when they first bring him on board and they've got him, like, shackled and they're leading him through, like, he looks up into the camera at one point, right at Banner, you know? Yeah. Like he looks into the camera and Banner, is, you know, they show Banner react. Yeah. Then he says something to,
Fury,
you know, when they first put him in the cage, he's like, oh, an impressive cage, not built for me, I think.
Yeah.
And then he says something a little while later, Like later in that conversation, I feel like. So, like, they've made no secret at this point that he is here to antagonize the Hulk somehow, you know?
I fully agree with you there. Yeah. And I will take a step farther. Is like, not only do we already know that, and has he made no secret of it, he also didn't say it right there.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything about, like, ooh, that monster going to destroy this ship or anything like that. Right. You know, she was just like, you're a monster. And he's like, you brought a monster.
I wish he had.
all he did was admit to knowing that the Hulk was there, which again, he's done four times at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
So like literally like nothing was gleaned from him saying that at all, and she's just like, got him.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
So that's
because she could have gotten right on the comm and been like, hey, I got Loki, his play is the Hulk, and Fury could have been like, yeah, he told us that already.
So yeah,
do
thanks.
It better.
Be better at your job, Black Widow. All right, so the Hawkeye attack.
Yep.
Hawkeye's coming in. He's coming in to break Loki out and blows up like the room that they're all in. So it kind of sends them all in different directions. Because that's their Banner and Widow fall down through the floor. Iron Man and Cap go get suited up. And this is where we're starting to get like Banner transitioning into the Hulk for the first time in the movie, which is some good stuff. But this whole scene's great too, because the engine goes out, so immediately Iron Man's like, well, I think I can fit in there and like manually start it, but I'm going to need a way to get out. And I love this because he's trying to explain to Cap what he needs to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, go look at that relay and tell me how it runs or whatever.
Yeah, I need
he's
to
like,
know which ones are in overload.
Yeah. It seems to run on some form of electricity.
well, you're not wrong. And then just says something like, see that red lever? I need you to pull that.
Yeah.
But that leads to some pretty great stuff too, because we get like the fights with Cap, like as he's like, dangling out of the ship.
Well, everybody kind of splits off, because you've got a bunch of Loki's minions or whatever they are, kind of coming into the ship. They're taking information away because Hawkeye's stealing stuff from the computers too.
Yep.
They blew up that engine, so Cap and Iron Man have to go fix that. Thor is just trying to fight the people off, and then Hulk erupts, and then Thor's just trying to keep Hulk at bay.
Right.
Black Widow's trying to not die.
Yeah.
And then Fury's trying to make sure that the plane doesn't go down. That's another great line from him they've got here, because they're talking about, I think this is where it is, because they think the thing's going to crash, and so he's trying to get it back over the water.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy's like, our navigation system's down. And Fury just goes, is the sun coming up?
Yeah.
Then put it on the left.
Yeah.
it's amazing. so this is like where Hulk's like chasing Black Widow here and everything. This is where she like has that little breakdown, like that I was kind of talking about.
See, this explains her reaction for the rest of the movie. Like right here, like the hesitancy at the beginning we were talking about, I think is just because she knew he turned into a great big rage monster.
Yeah.
Now he actually does it and comes real close to ending her.
Yeah.
You know, hurts her. I think hurt her leg or something like that.
Well, her leg was pinned. He just kind of smacks her out of the way.
That's right. That's what it was. He just kind of bonks her out of the way.
Yeah.
But again.
But he's about to smash her when Thor shows up.
Yeah.
You know, but she's in that, like you said earlier, she has no control over this situation whatsoever.
Right.
Totally freaks her out.
Okay. I guess that makes more sense. I was just like, I was real. I don't know. I just kind of felt like this. I didn't know why if there was something I was missing as to why she was so terrified of Hulk.
No.
When you say it that way, it does kind of like in retrospect, it does kind of feel like they're playing her attitude after the scene before the scene ever happens.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
Okay.
That is a little kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's like you have to make that leap.
Yeah.
Okay.
They leave that to you a little bit. But.
Got it. So this is a pretty great Hulk Thor fight, which is awesome because it's like the first Hulk Thor fight of like what this builds up to eventually down the road is amazing. But there's some good stuff here too, because I love it, because he starts with like the hand-to-hand fight, but then does that thing where he's like kneeling and just holds his arm out waiting for Mjolnir to show up, and it shows up right as Hulk gets to him, and he just like uppercuts him with the hammer.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And he falls into that jet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
That jet? Same jet they used in True Lies.
Really?
Oh, Harriers, is that what they're called?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's the model that Eliza Dushku was climbing around on.
Oh, nice.
A little young, yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yep.
That's cool.
A great movie too.
It's a phenomenal movie.
This is also where he throws the hammer and Hulk tries to catch it.
Yeah, and just falls
can't pick it up. And then gets real confused.
Yeah. So I got to throw this out there. The scene was fun for me personally because I've mentioned that my son's a huge Hulk fan, and so he plays Hulk with me all the time, where he's Hulk and he's fighting me. And anytime we're playing with his toy Mjolnir, I always tell him that he can't pick it up, and he always argues with me. No, the Hulk's the strongest. The Hulk can pick up anything, and I've tried telling him repeatedly that
Hulk's,
he can't
Hulk's
lift
not
the hammer.
Worthy. Hulk's
he
not worthy.
He can't lift the hammer, and he never believed me. When this scene happened in the movie, it blew his little mind. But Hulk's the strongest! Why can't he pick it up? Like, it was amazing. It was just kind of one of those moments where I, like it's my son, and I wanted to be like, boom, told you.
Should have just sent him to his room.
I told you you're wrong. Go to your room. It was awesome, though. It was so great.
One of those moments you wish you carried a mic in your back pocket so you could just be like, pow.
Oh, man, but he loved this scene, too. And you know, he's watched Ragnarok a billion times, and his favorite part about Ragnarok is the Thor-Hulk fight in the arena.
Yeah.
So him getting to see this for the first time was kind of fun watching him, because he was like, yay, a Hulk-Thor fight. This is a thing that happens.
Yeah.
You know, like, to him, that's, like, just what happens. So,
I watched it with my kids again, too, and we hadn't watched it in about a year since before Infinity War came out. And Connor remembered the scene later when they're fighting the Chitauri.
Yeah.
And they walk into that room, kind of like, you know, kind of slow walk in, and then Hulk just punches.
That's after they. Like, that's after they take down one of those dragon things.
Yeah. And he was just like, he's like, Daddy, they're gonna come in, and Hulk's gonna punch Thor. It's gonna be really funny or whatever. I'm like, that is in like an hour, but that's awesome that you remember. Yeah,
that got a great reaction out of Spencer too when that happened. Oh, man. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here, though. But ultimately, Hawkeye succeeds with his mission. And I love this, too, because, like, there's a lot. Because this is where Loki stabs Coulson with the scepter. Coulson goes down.
So mad.
Oh, yeah. Heartbroken.
I remember. That was one of those moments in the theater. The whole theater was like, not Coulson! Yeah.
This is so funny how popular that character is.
Man, he was in like three movies.
Four movies. Yeah.
And barely, you know.
Everybody loved him.
It was amazing.
And it had the exact effect.
Yep.
It was.
Because you and the audience felt what the Avengers were supposed to feel, you know?
Right.
Like,
It's okay.
And he even got last word in dying there. Because he'd come in with that gun and he's like, I don't even know what this thing does or whatever. Then he got stabbed and he got Loki to keep talking for a second and then just blasted him. He's like, oh, that's what it does.
Well, even when like Fury ran in and found him on the ground, remember he was like, it's time to clock out, boss, or whatever he said. So like Loki tricked Thor into getting into the cage and then he dropped the cage, so we get that great scene with like Thor bouncing around inside of this cage as it's fallen.
And that Loki bit where he's there and Thor charges him and then he's not actually there, they carry through like five other movies and Loki keeps making fun of him for always falling
even in this one he already says, are you ever not gonna fall for that?
Oh, and this also, because this is where everybody kind of gets separated. So Thor's, you know, he falls out and goes to the ground. They to stop Hulk in that fight, they sent that airplane over to, like, distract him. This is one of my favorites, too, because that plane, they're like, don't get too close. And he goes over and he starts blasting Hulk, and Hulk just turns around, jumps out on top of that plane. The dude tries to eject, and he catches him. It kills me every time. Well,
because the pilots go home, like, target is angry.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. But then the plane blows up, so Hulk goes flying away. Thor's gone somewhere now. Hawkeye gets away with Loki, and Coulson's dead.
No, Hawkeye doesn't get away here.
Oh, Hawkeye doesn't get away.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
other guys got away.
Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Black Widow have their little scuffle, and she hits him in the head really hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cranial recalibration.
That's right. Cranial recalibration. That's funny. I forgot about that.
Concussions cure the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of sets us up for like our big final moments, basically, like a big end scene. Because I love that too, though, because they use the whole Coulson death as like the thing that brings the team together. Yep.
But even then, it's still Fury lying.
to them. Yep.
She goes and gets that set of vintage Captain America
near mint
cards.
Near mint.
Yeah,
which are now covered in blood.
Which were out of apparently pulled them out of Coulson's locker, smeared them with blood.
Yeah.
And then showed them to Cap and Tony.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So this is pretty great. Like, so they recalibrate Hawkeye. I love that too, because Cap's like, you got a suit? And he's like, oh yeah, I got one of those. Basically, like, yeah, Hawkeye's got a suit.
Right.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he have a suit?
Even that's a little bit of the, you can almost play that in the relationship between Cap and Black Widow forming right there too, because he comes in and is obviously skittish of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know, and she's basically like, he's okay. Yep. And immediately Cap's like, okay, then cool. He's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So this basically sets up our big fight for the end scene here. Yep. Like, we get this great little montage of everybody kind of gearing up for the fight. Yeah. Like, we see Thor picking up Mjolnir and like doing the lightning and the armor coming out of his arms, like suiting up. Like, everybody's suiting up in this scene, which is great.
Except for Hulk, who's just looking for pants.
Yeah, Banner's just looking for some old man.
You got a condition.
You got a condition.
You an alien?
Nobody around for you to hurt.
Yeah, that's a great little Harry Dean Stanton cameo there too.
Yeah, that was good stuff. So
little cameo.
Loki and Selvig are on top of Stark Tower, and they're opening the portal for the Chitauri to come and invade. So now we have a full-on alien invasion, which is our first time like really seeing something of this magnitude in the Marvel movies, right?
Well, we've
like,
got Tony showing up before the portal opens.
That's right, because he's
almost out of power.
Yep.
And we get his first real interaction with Loki.
That's right, yep.
Which was just, again,
we have a Hulk.
Two great actors playing two great characters just getting their moment.
Yep.
It's just, you know, like, not a ton technically happens right there, but it's so much fun to just absorb as it's happening.
You want a drink? Please, I'm going
to
have a drink.
Please tell me you're going to appeal to my humanity.
Yeah.
No, I'm planning to threaten you.
Yeah. We get to see him put on a pretty new Iron Man suit, because we always get new Iron Man suits in every movie. This is fun stuff, though, too. And this is, you could start to see the evolution with his suits, because even like he lands and he still has all the arms that pull the armor off.
Yeah.
But he's got this new prototype suit, which like it just rockets out, scans those little bracelets, and then just attaches to him.
Yeah.
So like we're getting that evolution with the Iron Man costumes, where it's getting a little easier and easier and easier for him to suit up whenever he needs to suit up, kind of a thing. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, we have that whole scene, and then the portal opens, and then the Chitauri come pouring in, because Iron Man kind of starts fighting him by himself at first, right?
Well, he comes up and he shoots Loki.
Yeah.
And then all the aliens start pouring out, and he's like, oh yeah, army. And then he goes up to start fighting them.
Because then Cap and Black Widow come rolling in, and Hawkeye come rolling in.
In that jet they stole.
In that jet, yep. I just want to say, too, like, even with Hawkeye, who is kind of feels like the most lowest tier character, obviously, out of these characters, he's got the least development, like you talked about, and everything like that. This whole fight scene, like, they did a great job here of giving everybody something in this entire sequence, because Hawkeye was awesome throughout this entire thing. And you really get a sense of, like they did a great job of movie-izing his bow and arrows, because you kind of see that he's got, like, this cool little switch box thing in his quiver that attaches different arrowheads for different scenarios, and I love everything about that. It's so awesome, because in the books he always used crazy arrows, but it was like he had crazy arrows.
Yeah.
So I love the way they just kind of like made it work. Yep. Like, I thought that was so great. Man, it's awesome. Like watching him just stand up there, barely even looking at anybody, and just nailing every target is so fun and so satisfying to watch. Actually,
and he makes like,
well,
I guess it's just the way Renner plays it. I don't know, but like it makes a guy with a bow and arrow believable in this giant monster fight. You know what I mean? Because yeah, totally. Conceptually, it's one of those things you go into and you're like, they put Hawkeye in the movie. Ridiculous. And then you watch it and you're like, it plays fine. Every bit of that played fine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you guys are skipping right past the best part in the movie.
Oh, what's the best part?
The assemble moment.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. I know, I just wanted to mention that part about it.
What? That hasn't come yet.
The assemble moment happens a little further in, right?
Because Hawkeye's not using his bows and arrows.
Well, because fair enough. Okay.
But we haven't even gotten to the point where Hulk shows up.
So
you skipped all that. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
You guys are talking Hawkeye. He hasn't done anything yet.
I just wanted to mention the Hawkeye thing. I didn't mean to skip
it. It's great.
Stuff.
Okay.
Because I love this because this is where Cap starts like basically running around and giving orders.
Yeah.
Because I love that scene too. Like he runs up to the officers.
Yeah.
One of which was from
Agent Carter. Carter. We pointed that out immediately. It was the dude from Agent Carter. Maybe it's his grandson.
Well, he was also he's a
Joss Whedon guy, right?
Yeah, because he was in Buffy. He was in Dollhouse.
Oh, he was in Dollhouse.
He was in
Dollhouse.
Yeah, Dollhouse.
He was in Firefly.
Who was he in Firefly?
A side character.
Okay, I don't remember him in Firefly.
Yeah,
I'm sure. He's sure he was in there. Yeah.
It's great because Cap's like giving orders, and the police chief or whatever is like, "Why should I listen to you?" And then those aliens start blowing stuff up. So Cap just like takes them all out, does all the cool shield stuff and everything, and then the cop just immediately just repeats Cap's orders to everybody. Yeah. That's such an amazing scene. I love it. But this is also great because they put that huge focus, and this was such a big point of contention when we talked about Man of Steel. Uh-huh. They put such a huge focus on Cap wanting to save and protect the civilians in this scene.
Yeah, the heroes actually played it like heroes.
Yes. You know? Like, that was Cap's priority on the ground. He wanted to make sure everybody was staying safe, right? I loved that. That was so cool. But, yeah, it was like they're doing all this, and this is about the part where Banner comes rolling up on his motorcycle, right? Because
Tony's called on the radio and asked if Banner showed up yet or whatever, and Cap's like, no.
Banner. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So Banner comes rolling up on his little moped.
They kind of get that first moment where everybody lands and is together for a second, you know, and then Banner comes rolling up. He's like, well, this is terrible.
But this is great, too, because he tells Iron Man that Banner's there, and he's like, oh, great, I'm bringing you guys a present, because he's luring the big dragon thing to them. And then
Bringing the party to you.
How is this a party? How is this a party? Yeah, and this is where we get my secret.
Banner line.
That's my secret. I'm always angry. Turns right into Hulk and just punches that thing in the face and takes it down. It's amazing. Yeah, he takes that thing down in a punch, and then that's where we kind of get
that. And then almost lands on everybody.
It almost lands on everybody. But yeah, this is where we get that big iconic moment where like they're all rounding up and we get the big superhero pose with the Avengers assemble, and it just makes you want to cry when you see it.
Every time, man.
Because it's just the most amazing thing.
The music hits and...
Like, you just like, man, dude, like, and I watched it twice, and the first time I watched it just with me and Christina, and both, like, I looked over at Christina and she's going... Like, she's, like, really getting into it. And, like, I'm feeling like a 12-year-old while I'm watching it. And I'm just
You remember the first time we saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had seen the marathon.
Yeah.
With all five movies leading up to
we did.
And so this is, like, we got to this moment, like, 12 hours into this day. And, you know, you're a little scared you're going to be exhausted by the time you get to the main event when you do one of those things or whatever. But... We could not have been more.
Oh my God! It was just that moment right there is like the moment. Yeah. I mean, that is the moment that it feels like our lives have been building to. That's how good that moment is. You know what I mean? Like, it is so amazing. And like, because we watched it the first time, and then the second time was when Spencer got to watch it with us. So I got to like experience that moment again with him for the first time seeing it, and it was like just as amazing. Because then I was like, Spencer, look at Hulk, look, he's part of the team, and Hulk, and like Spencer's like, this is awesome, and I'm like, this is the best parent moment ever right here, this is it, like, oh my God. It's so good. And then we just get lots of great fighting. Lots of great teamwork moments.
And another one of those crowd pleasers right there, because Captain America does the orders again and starts telling everybody where to go. And then the final line is, you know, and Hulk, smash, and then you just see the Hulk smile, and then just start tearing Chitauri apart, good. Bouncing from building to building, and the audiences were cheering.
And Spencer goes, "Daddy, he said that because Hulk likes to smash things." I was so happy. But yeah, he starts just, oh, I love that. He's like running up buildings. He does that move where he like smashes and like rolls across the side of the building while he's smashing things. Oh, so good. I love, too, like they do that amazing shot where like they focus on one hero at a time and it seamlessly transitions to the next guy and he does a bunch of stuff and then it transitions to the next guy. And that's the thing that ends with Hulk and Thor taking down the thing and Hulk punching Thor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just an amazing scene, every little bit of it, because it feels
the
like
the camera never cuts. It just
never cuts. Yeah, it's like you're watching like in a comic book, and you're seeing the fight like panel to panel.
Yep.
But it's like this nice, beautiful, seamless transition all the way. Oh, it's so good. It's so amazing. Oh my god, good stuff.
And in the commentary, Joss Whedon talks about that scene.
Really?
Because he talks about how as they're storyboarding it and scripting it and everything, he's got this vision. You know, that he's trying to storyboard. And he said he's like, you know, the whole time he's assuming that's going to get cut because it's so expensive and so tough. You know, like that's they're going to shoot me down on this one, you know.
Yeah, wow.
And then when it gets there, and he said, and I think he was talking to Kevin. He said he was talking to Kevin Feige about it. And he was like, I can't believe you guys approved this shot. And Kevin Feige was like, what do you mean? This is what we're here for.
Yeah.
You know, how can I cut that? That's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Like, that's one of the scenes. That is one of those scenes that shows you how much Marvel gets it with these movies compared to everybody else trying to do a superhero movie. Because that scene is a comic book scene.
I know there's been, you know, some of the stories have changed and some of the perspectives are different over the years. But going back to Phase 1 and the working relationship that Marvel had with the directors, which I will say is still strong to this day. It's just, you know, 20 movies in, they've ran into a few people that they didn't work well with to one degree or another. Joss Whedon ends up being one of those. On the second movie. You know, there's a lot of stories going into that, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit more when we get to Age of Ultron. But going into this one, I mean, I was reading everything I could find on, you know, the Avengers, on Joss Whedon, on all of that stuff going through, and I saw nothing but just huge praise about working with the company and the fact. And I had heard that on all the movies going in. Like, basically, like, they had this idea, they wanted to do this thing, so they would give every director certain guidelines.
Right.
Like, we do need to do this, because we got to intercut some things. Beyond that, make us a good movie, you know, and this was no different. Like, they basically told him, you know, a couple of key points he had to hit.
Yep.
And some connections he had to make, and beyond that, you know, just go out there and give us something that people are going to love.
Yeah.
And just gave him mostly free reign on this first movie here.
Man.
And again, that really shows through on how well it is. And that story that you just told is great.
Yeah.
And a perfect example of, again, Marvel just getting it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like, they know what they're doing. And maybe it'll cost a few extra dollars, but it'll be worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
And boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. Yeah, it's amazing. Good stuff. So I guess we should bring up, there's the scene with, and we didn't talk about them earlier, but Fury's been kind of talking with, like, all those S.H.I.E.L.D. directors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't approve of this whole thing, like Fury's whole Avengers plan and everything, and now New York's under an alien invasion, so they're just like, what the heck, bro? What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I love too, because the one guy on S.H.I.E.L.D. we later find out is
Howard Booth.
We later find out he's a Hydra guy, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of awesome in retrospect now, looking at this, knowing that he's just full on Hydra.
Yeah, he's on Agents for a while.
He's on Agents with a big chunk of S.H.I.E.L.D. members.
Yep.
They're all Hydra, and they have no idea at this point. But it's amazing going back and looking at this stuff in retrospect and knowing that. That's pretty
cool. And it's so, and it fits so well.
Yeah.
You know, because they're just immediately like, all right, well, nuke them.
Yeah,
we'll just nuke New York.
We're just going to nuke the city. That's the best way to handle this.
And the best part about that is like examining that in real life, like, it's totally believable because we find out later that they're Hydra. But it's also totally believable even before then, because they're just bureaucrats.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense on either level.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love Fury runs outside to stop the planes from taking off, and he like blasts that one with a bazooka and stops it, which is awesome. And then the second one still takes off, so he pulls out his handgun and he points it. I'm like, yeah, get it, Fury, with your handgun. Good job, bro.
I think it's great. He just runs out and shoots that. There's like, I mean, there's a person in that jet.
Like, whatever.
There's not 10 million people in that jet. Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
bazooka that dude.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm fine with it. I get excited every time Captain America picks up a gun.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I get it. That's fine. It's that same feeling, you know, like, seeing him, man, I always remember Captain America. This is way like a side, an aside. But,
no, that's fine.
You know, like, I remember Captain America as a kid. You know, heroes didn't kill people. He was always hitting them with that shield.
Yeah.
So, like, in Captain America, when he's running around in World War II, fighting with guns like he would have been in World War II. I'm like, ah, that's awesome. You know, when he grabs a gun in the couple scenes he does, or the one scene at least that he does in this one, and starts shooting back at those guys.
He threw a dude off the helicopter in that one fight scene. Because I pointed that out to Christina. I was like, he just straight threw that dude off a helicarrier.
You know what it reminds me of every time? It reminds me of the scene in the second X-Men. Wolverine totally just murders that dude like right away, pins him to the
fridge. But that scene was like, that scene felt like Wolverine though, right? Wolverine's supposed to be kind of violent.
Yeah.
Like that was like Berserker mode Wolverine right there. So that
And it was the reveal because that dude comes in, he turns around and slams that dude against the fridge. But then when he pulls back, the claws are extended.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have the claws when he grabs him.
Yeah.
You know, he's just boom. And then when he pulls back, they're extended.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh my god.
It's for real.
And then he runs down that hallway and starts slashing everybody. That's one of the best movie X-Men scenes ever. I love it.
But it's that same kind of feel like, oh, we're all adults here.
Okay.
I can handle this. Yep. And that's the way I feel every time Cap grabs a gun or anything like that. I'm just like, yep.
That's funny.
Yep.
Awesome. So the plane's heading for New York with the bomb.
Yep.
And
he can only call Iron Man.
Yep.
Iron Man's not the one to make the sacrifice play.
What?
That's what Cap keeps telling him. You're not the one to make the sacrifice play.
Got it. Yeah. So that's what they do. Iron Man basically makes that decision like, well, I'm flying. I'm up here. Yeah. I'm the one that can stop this. So there's a portal up there. Because he tells him, he's like, don't close it yet. I'll tell you when.
Yeah.
And his whole plan is basically, I'm going to redirect this missile up to space through that portal, which is awesome. That's such a great.
Yep.
I love that too. And he does it. He pulls it off. He grabs it and basically drives it up through the portal. And you get to see him transition through the portal into space with this whole space fleet and this big ship and a bunch of those alien things. And he just like lets the missile go and it flies right into that ship and it explodes it. So that's awesome because this is again another one of those elements that kind of expands the world even more, because like getting an alien invasion, that's a big deal and that's expanding the universe. But now he's just straight flown up into some part, like he's transitioned to another part of the galaxy through that portal, and we get to see this whole space fleet of some sort, you know, and like we've really opened up the MCU here with that scene. I feel like it's good stuff. And then we get the scene where he's basically like, he froze in space thing, kind of a callback to Iron Man 1. Yeah. He's up in space.
Well, he was out of energy. He was out of power.
Yeah, the suit power's down. It freezes. He starts falling backwards. But it definitely was a callback to that Iron Man 1 stuff. I feel like it was the same kind of thing.
I think if we want to start nitpicking the science, I don't think that's how space works, but. But let's,
yeah,
let's,
I know,
just,
right?
let's just let it happen.
The gravity was coming through the portal and pulling him down. Come on, John.
The gravity.
Yeah, it's the gravity. Yes. It's gravity. It grabbed him. but it's a great scene because Black Widow shuts the whole thing down with the staff.
Yep.
Portal closes, but just in the nick of time, Tony falls through right as it closes and falls
down. They've got to close it so the nuclear blast doesn't come back through.
Right.
They do a real neat shot as it's closing and Iron Man falls through. And then as soon as it closes on the space side, they show the heat wave come through.
Yeah.
And then they cut back to Tony just falling.
Yeah. And this is a great moment, too, because Hulk jumps up and saves him.
Yeah. Like Thor's about to.
Yeah, and then Hulk grabs him and saves him. I love it, though, because, like, Hulk grabs him, smashes in that building, then, you know, falls on his back, so he takes the fall, and after he lands, Hulk just goes, meh, and, shoves him off, and then stands up, so it's awesome, but it's really good stuff. Oh, and then he's the one that revives him, too, by screaming.
Yeah.
That's great stuff there. So I love too looking back at the Loki staff, knowing now that that's also one of the Infinity Stones, which I feel like was something that once we realized that the Infinity Stones were going to be a thing, everybody kind of immediately started speculating that the staff must have been an Infinity Stone. That Thanos must have said, you can use this Infinity Stone to fetch that other one for me. Just bring those back to me. Yeah.
It's the Mind Stone, right?
It's the Mind Stone.
Yeah, it's the Mind Stone inside, which is the one that goes in Vision eventually. Yeah, yeah, so that's awesome.
Because we kind of glazed over that, too, that scene where it is Tony and Loki, and Tony's like, well, I'll just take her. And Loki's just like,
How they fight me when they're too busy fighting you.
Yeah, and tries to, like, mind control them, and Tony makes the joke about performance issues.
Yeah, that's good.
1 in 5. Yeah.
I think it's thrown out a window.
He needed some blue chew. they,
are we calling for a sponsorship?
If they want to, I will chew blue chew the entire podcast. Every podcast.
Oh, that would be awkward.
Yeah. For you guys.
Maybe we start with Blue Apron.
Whatever, as long as it's blue.
As long as it's blue.
Maybe we could be sponsored by Will Smith's Genie.
Oh, there you go. We got it.
I will super take some Disney money. Disney.
Oh, my God.
I'll be blue. I'll paint myself blue every podcast.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. All right, hey, so when Tony gets revived, this is where he starts rambling about the shawarma place.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Hey, good job, everybody.
Yeah, we did.
Let's just take tomorrow off. You guys ever try shawarma?
I don't know what it is, but I really want to try it.
Which is a setup for the
wackiest
end credit scene.
Which was impromptu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did the end credit scene is just everybody sitting around in a torn up shawarma place as somebody's in the background sweeping. They're all just sitting quietly eating. They're
awkwardly.
Chris Evans got called in from filming The Iceman, that Michael Shannon flick. And he was all bearded up, and they called him in last minute. And, like, seriously, this movie was like a week from debuting. It was all cut and done, and everything was ready. And they were like, well, we don't have anything for the end. Let's go ahead and throw something on there. Because this was, like, at the time, this was kind of like... They had more movies.
There's a mid-credit scene.
Yeah. So. But they didn't have, like... They had more movies coming, but this was sort of like a cap of sorts, you know, like...
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You know, like, this is an end
for now.
So end they the didn't have, yeah, anything that they really wanted to do at the very, very last part there. Until they thought of that moment there, and so they call everybody in like in that week they film that, and then they edit it, and then they have to add it to all the prints, and then they have to send it out, and like you can see Chris Evans just sitting there covering his face the entire time because he's got that big beard, and Captain America doesn't have a beard yet.
Yeah.
So it's fun to watch stuff like that happen, and it's such a joyful 20 seconds of film where absolutely nothing happens. You just smile the whole time you're watching it, you know.
Well, the mid-credit scene is a great one, though, right? Because that's like... So that's our big Thanos reveal. And, you know, we get the weird little minion guy like that we saw talking to Loki in the middle of the movie.
Who was Wesley?
Yep.
Who was Wesley? Yeah, from Buffy.
Sandy Rivers.
Yeah, yeah.
Sandy Rivers. Yes, who was Sandy Rivers? Sandy Rivers.
Sandy Rivers. I forgot about Sandy Rivers. So he's... He's talking to somebody off screen or whatever about how the humans were more powerful than we expected, basically. And then we get that amazing shot where, like, you see somebody stand up out of a throne and do the little half turn, and it's obviously Thanos, which is one of those perfect things for, like, all the comic book fans immediately were like, oh my God, they're doing this. You know what I mean? Like, nobody else knew who the heck that was. Right. Like, we had to explain that to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why this is such a big deal. But I feel like that moment was, like, Like, you remember we talked about how big the moment was at the end of Iron Man when they revealed the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing and the Avengers initiative. That was a huge deal. Revealing Thanos was, like, the next step in, like, this this being a big deal. Because now it's just like, oh my God, they're going to straight up do the Infinity thing.
Yeah.
They're going all the way. We're going to get the Infinity.
Can you even fathom what the Endgame end trailer might be? Or end credit thing?
Oh my gosh, what could they possibly, like, how,
who knows?
How are they going to do that?
Who knows? Yeah. Might not be one.
I hope it's just everybody getting shawarma.
Just the entire MCU.
Even the bad guys. Just like 60 people.
I mean, if they're alive.
Thanos is sitting there with them? All right. I lost the Infinity Gauntlet, but I got this shawarma. Not a bad trade. Well, I think that was pretty much everything, right? Was there anything else specific we needed to bring up?
Yeah, I didn't. I've been bringing up financials, and I didn't bring those up at the beginning. So one was a $220 million budget. It brought in $623 million domestically, sitting at $1.5 billion worldwide, which puts it pretty high up on the list. It's not the highest Marvel movie anymore. It was for a long time, I think, but I know Infinity War has beaten it. There might be another couple above it, but at the time it came out and it was making that run, again, it didn't make Titanic money.
Right,
but,
right.
Man, it made a lot of money.
Made a lot of money.
No, you cannot consider anything less than just a tremendous success for this, for this idea. And again, especially when you're culminating here, this is 2012. The culmination of an idea that began, you know, with a movie released in 2008. So it's a 4-year journey from release date, but from inception of the idea of when people at Marvel got together and went, well, who do we got and what can we do with them? I don't know if anybody could have seen how massively successful it was going to end up being, but man, they're riding it high now. So, awesome. Well, in 2012. Also now.
Yeah. Also now. Yeah.
But
also then.
Yeah.
All right, Jaren, how do you rank this one?
Well, Avengers Assembles, 5 stars.
5 stars. I like it. Just a simple, basic, but total, it works. Well, five stars.
They're assembled.
They're assembled. 5 stars.
Avengers Assembles, 5 stars. I can't believe I had to explain that. So I thought that was. I felt like that was the cleverest one I've done.
Avengers Assemble is the name of the movie, Jaren. Come on,
not in America where I live.
Do we want to rank phase one?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's, we got to.
All right,
it's probably going to be the same. I would assume.
But there's, I don't know. This is a problem that will continue all the way through 20 movies.
Yes, right. This is going
to
be rough.
We're going to get to the end here, and there's going to be a pretty wide difference between number one and Iron Man 2 at the bottom.
We've already ranked Iron Man 2.
So like,
yeah, there's no challenge at that point.
Yeah, in phase 1 there's a wide difference, in phase 3 there'll be a wide difference. There'll always be some space between 1 and 20.
Yeah.
But man, when you get like there's not a ton of space between 1 and 3.
Yeah.
There's almost no space between 8 and 9. You know what I mean? Like when you really start ranking them, so When you're trying to look at a series of movies that you absolutely adore, almost all of them, it is kind of hard to put them in order. But you do it.
Yeah,
fun,
it's gonna
do it.
This one's pretty easy for me.
It's
Avengers. Avengers number one.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep.
Captain America number two.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The only close call for me is Thor and Iron Man.
This is me too. This is where I get hung up.
Thor and Iron Man at. Ooh, wow. Three and four. Thank you.
Is that how you did it? Yeah. So you're doing Thor and then Iron Man?
No, I can't. I've,
they're just stuck there somewhere?
They're just stuck there.
Because I was the same way.
I think probably... No, you know what? I'll commit. I'll say I like Thor a little bit better than Iron Man.
Okay, I like Iron Man a little bit better than Thor.
Yeah.
I'm flipping them there.
And I like The Incredible Hulk in 3.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go. Incredible Hulk is really good, though. So it's... Whew, it is tough. But Thor and Iron Man were my hang-ups, too. And so I think I would do, so it's Iron Man, then Thor, then Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
But like you said, I feel like the margins are so close here.
Yeah.
Like that it's almost like a shame having to number them, because it's not like,
it's not like
I like it so much less than,
you know, 3, 4, and 5 I could have pulled out of a hat and not argued with the order in, you know what I mean?
But Iron Man 2 is definitely.
See, for this phase, I'll run into that later. For this phase, it's pretty clear. The only Thor and Iron Man are the only two I really struggle with, And if I really... And really, when I think about it, it's not that much of a struggle. I will grab Thor... way more often than I will grab Iron Man. Yeah. So
I like Thor a lot, but I think I rank Iron Man a little higher.
Yeah, and then all of them all of them I will grab before Hulk, which love Hulk, but I'll grab all of them before Hulk.
I get it,
and I won't even bother. I'm real glad. So I'm real glad because I bought Captain America 2 on Blu-ray. Because had I not bought it on Blu-ray, I would never. Like upgrade that particular one. So if I had it on DVD, like it would just stay on DVD because I'll never watch it.
Iron Man 2.
Did I say Thor 2?
You said Captain America 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is way real wrong.
No wonder you guys are confused. No wonder you guys are looking at me confused. No, I meant Iron Man 2. That one, I could throw that one away and not miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had Avengers, and I don't think this ranking has changed much, if at all, since Phase 1 completed in the first place. I always thought the characters I like were driving it a lot more than they were, because I ranked Captain America so high.
Yeah.
And at the time, I don't know if everybody appreciated Captain America for quite as good as it is then, as more people seem to now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I was, like, I always, because I think everybody, for the most part... Or at least I felt like everybody kind of had the first Iron Man right below the Avengers, and then everything else kind of beyond that. And I always had the first Iron Man considerably lower than that, because I love Hulk and Captain America, and then their movies turned out good. Well, then the Captain America movies just keep getting better.
People
realize and appreciate that even going back.
Yeah.
So I think Cap's number two in a lot of people's eyes now, so it's definitely my number two. Then I'm going to put The Incredible Hulk, which is certainly a fanboy.
Yeah,
I mean, it gets extra credit for how much I like the character and the actors and everybody who went into that movie, but it's my list, so.
Yep, exactly.
Then Iron Man and Thor, which, again, so close.
Yep.
But I'll do Iron Man ahead of Thor. I like the Thor character more later.
Yeah.
But just looking at Phase 1, I can tell you I liked Iron Man more back then, for sure. The first one, then Thor, and then Iron Man 2. So there's my six.
Awesome.
There you go.
Very cool. And that, my friends, puts a cap to America on Avengers.
but my Avengers Assemble gets no love.
I know.
Assembling five stars.
He got
I'm
it.
Talking to him, man. Come on, John. The one time I'm coming at Danny.
I would say that went over my head, but nothing goes over my head. I would jump up and catch it.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well... hope you guys have been enjoying these. We are getting ready to roll right into Phase 2 with the next movie, Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. We get to do another Iron Man movie. So make sure you guys are...
Best Iron Man.
Make sure you guys are... Well, really? Best Iron Man?
My favorite.
Ooh, all right. Nice. I haven't seen that one probably since the theater.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to watch that one again.
It's what, like, I always... I know that I like Iron Man 3. When I'm actually watching it, I like it. I never realized how much I like it until I'm watching it. Yeah. Every time I rewatch it, I go, man, that is way better than I remembered it being good. It's way better than I remembered it being.
So
I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. Just a reminder, guys, we have this podcast in two different formats, video and audio. So if you prefer video, make sure you check us out on YouTube. Just do a search for the Geek Easy Podcast and hit that subscribe button. If you're an audio podcast person, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, all of those audio apps. And we are all under the Geek Easy Podcast feed. So all the Marvel episodes are under that same feed there. So rate us and review us and all that good stuff. And tell us if you're enjoying the show. And feel free to give us recommendations. We'd love that, too.
And let us see your lists of favorites from Phase 1.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let us know what you guys thought about each one.
Absolutely. If you guys want to do stuff like that and interact with us, the best place to do it is on Facebook at the Geek Easy Podcast Facebook page. Just, again, do a search for Geek Easy Podcast and you'll find us. And feel free to comment on the podcast post right there. Give us your lists. So until next time, thanks for listening. Marvel good yay.
Marvel good yay.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests. and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.